stand and read a few of the scripture here. Let me say this, folks, this morning. I believe that God is trying to do something here that's going to be heard around the world. You have an unusual church. You've got a great man of God here that God has placed here. You have a diversity of cultures here, of people that can be trained and go back into different areas of the world, and nobody reaches their people better than a preacher of his own culture. Amen. And so you've got all these things here, and you've got the Word of God. And you've got the power of God and the presence of God here, and that's what you need. Everything else, you know, you've got these buildings. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother Osteen, what do I need to get a Bible Institute started? I said, well, you need curriculum, a log to set the student on, and a student, and a teacher. That's it. All you need is a student and a teacher and a curriculum. And this is the curriculum. Now, it has to be divided and has to be taught systematically, and doctrines have to be taught, and practical things have to be taught. But it's all in the Word of God. And a lot of the principles that we deal with, they're just in the Bible. And sometimes we don't know how to get them out. So I'm just want to encourage this church this morning, and those of you that are visiting, why don't you just get saved and get in here, or get right and get in here, and just go do what needs to be done. And get with the program, amen? And it'll be a blessing to you. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot in Isaiah, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Philip ran thither to the chariot, or to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. Isaiah 53. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I'm going to preach a little while this morning on a man saved on the way home from church. A man saved on the way home from church. Father, we thank you now for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are grateful for what you have given us in the Word of God. Lord, we would not know anything about you except what we would discern by the creation if you had not have given us this wonderful Word of God. And Lord, we would not know how much you love us except you sent your Son to be born in Bethlehem and to go to the cross and die in our place. And Lord, we would not have life and have it more abundantly if he had not have gotten up out of the tomb with the keys of death and hell. And dear Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for this time of year, whenever even the world, even though they don't understand it, their minds are stayed on this thing of Christmas and Christ. And I recognize and understand it's commercialized and all of that, but dear Lord, I thank you that there is a historical figure named Jesus. And that he really came and was born in Bethlehem, and that he really died. And that he got up, dearly beloved. And I thank you that one day I understood that and believed on him with all of my heart and trusted him and got saved by the grace of God. Dear Lord, I pray for every person here this morning that's saved, that they might renew their joy. That they should have because they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I pray for those that are lost that they might be saved. Speak to our heart today. Lord, don't let us go away from here without knowing what you want us to do and how you want us to do it. Lord, we give you the glory for what's said and done. Fill us now with the Spirit of God and anoint us for this time to preach the Word of God. Well, we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. You may be seated. This is one of the men that were chosen in Acts chapter number 6. He becomes an evangelist to preach the word of the living God. He is involved in a revival meeting. And he is busy. If you'll read the preceding verses here, you'll find out he's busy working for the Lord, preaching the Word of God, folks getting saved, having a time, and enjoying the things that God's having to do. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord spoke unto him, verse number 26, and saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." So we find here that a revival was interrupted. I mean, most of us would say, man, we're busy serving God. We're busy out here getting some people saved. We're busy preaching the Word of God. We're busy doing this and doing that over here. But God had something for Philip to do. And Philip was filled with the Spirit of God, knowing what God would have him to do. And so he was willing to say, okay, I don't care what it is, I'm ready to go. One of the problems that we're faced with in our life sometimes, we get so busy doing things that we forget about God, we forget about praying, we forget about walking with Him, or we forget about meditating on the Word of God, we forget about this business, how we ought to be filled with Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit, and that we ought to give Him the preeminence in our life and let Him guide our life day by day. I've dealt with a lot of preachers and teachers and leaders in church and church people, and I find out the problem is we get so busy sometimes doing that we are not busy being. We get so busy out here in the work, dearly beloved, we don't seemingly have time for God. That's too busy. You need to get a hold of God, dearly beloved, and let God work in your life. And I'm here to tell you, there's no such thing as a spiritual burnout in the work of God. It's a fleshly burnout, and people not doing what they ought to do and meditating and spending some time alone with God. I'm here to tell you, I can get refreshed, dearly beloved. I may have some weariness in my bones and weariness in my flesh, but I can get along with God for a little while and get that Bible and get to praying and meditating on what He has done and thanking Him and praising Him. And I'm here to tell you, it'll all look different then. Amen. But God just interrupted this revival because He's interested in one soul. Isn't that amazing? God is interested in individuals. God does not save anyone in mass. He saves us one by one. And that's why we got to deal with folks one by one. That's why we have to continually deal with them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to the point now to where I'm always trying to devise different ways to witness and different ways to get somebody's attention. Now, I go into a place and I'll say, "Hello, how y'all doing?" "Now, are you doing all right?" And they'll say, "Well, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?" I say, "I'm saved and going to heaven. How are you?" Boy, they go into shock about that time. They don't know what to say, you know. And it gives me an opportunity to take a track and tell them about the Lord. You ought to, in your mind, you ought to be always thinking about this business, that people are going to hell and they need Jesus Christ, dearly beloved, and they are going to go to hell unless somebody reaches them for Christ. Amen. Philip was that kind of man. God spoke to him and just interrupted the revival. I can almost see some folks would say, "Well, God, don't you know I'm busy? Don't you know I'm doing a great work for you? Don't you know, Lord, I just wait a minute until I get through here." How many times have we tried to tell God to wait on us? Amen. When we ought to be waiting on God. Second thing I find here is a religious seeker. Look what it says in verse 27, 28. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, the prophet." Now listen to me carefully. This man was doing all he knew to get close to God. He was doing all he knew to worship God. He was evidently a proselyte Jew. Evidently, he was gone down there to worship and to worship there at Jerusalem. He understood that God was dealing with the Jew, and he understood that the Jew were the apple of God's eye. He understood that they were the chosen people. He understood that they had the law and the prophets, and he's down there trying to worship. But he comes away empty. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? We can go to church, we can go down to a place of worship, and come away empty. We can go down to the house of God, and everybody else be having a good time and praising the Lord, and we look around and say, "What in the world's wrong with this bunch of nuts?" Amen. You've been there, hadn't you? And you come to the point, you say, "Well, you know, what have they got? What are they doing? Why come they so happy?" Hey, I'm here to tell you, dearly beloved, when you come and don't get anything, it's a sad day. I always want something. I come to church. I come to get something. I didn't come to just kind of have a little fellowship. I came to hear from God. I came to hear what God has to say. I love this music. I love that singing this morning for the Sunday school, that scriptural singing. That's the way it ought to be. Every church ought to be singing those kind of songs. I was over with my son and Tuscaloosa, Alabama, a couple of weeks ago, they got some things on the wall, and they're singing a lot of these scriptural songs like that, and he's leading the singing to them, and I'm telling you what, that congregation, 300, 350 people just having a time singing those scriptural songs. I'm sitting there listening to it and thinking, "Glory be unto God, that's the way it ought to be," and I get up here and y'all doing the same thing. Hallelujah. We ought to be singing the scriptures. We ought to be thinking about Jesus. We ought to come to the house of God hunting something. This man was hunting something. The trip that he took was not a one-day trip. Wasn't like, you know, I left yesterday and drove 570 miles yesterday and got in the motel last night and slept and came on in here this morning. And I'm here to tell you, dear brother, I did it pretty fast. I'm driving an automobile. I'm running 70 miles an hour down on that highway, and sometimes you have to run faster than that to keep getting run over. You ever been around a bunch of these big trucks out there coming along the highway? I mean, here you are. I was riding along there, and I'm looking up, and there's one over here, and there's one here, and there's one there, and there's one up here. And I said, "I better maintain the speed." And after a while, and when it hit 90 miles an hour, I said, "I ain't going this fast." You hear what I'm saying, dearly beloved? You can move on. You can go a long distance in a short time. This man here did not have the facilities that we have to get to places. It took him days and weeks maybe to get to where he was going and to get back. But he was so interested in trying to get hold of God that he was willing to spend that time. Now today, some of us that are saved are not willing to spend that type of time to try to get a hold of Jesus. We're not willing to spend some time along with Him. We're so busy with the world and busy with this and busy with that. I'm here to tell you, Thanksgiving ought to be a time we ought to be thanking our Creator, and Christmas ought to be a time when we ought to be exalting our Savior and dealing with some things like that. I always love to be around my family in Christmas time and Thanksgiving time because we talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. Wasn't saved. Still lost. He's a religious seeker. Then I want you to notice in verse 28 through 30. I want you to notice the passage of Scripture read but not understood. Did you ever have that problem? Did you ever read a passage of Scripture and don't understand it? Look here what he says. In verse number 28, was returning and sitting in the chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, the only way I can visualize this is that Philip's over yonder preaching. If you ever go look and see where Philip was preaching and where it was to where he had to get to, it's a pretty good ways. It wasn't next door. And all of a sudden, here's Philip over here. The only thing that I can figure is the Lord just picked him up and transported him over there. Now, you listen to what I'm saying, dearly beloved. If there's somebody out here, somebody seeking the Word of God and seeking the things of God, God will get somebody to it. I want you to notice here. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now, that's the problem today. We don't want to ask questions and sit still long enough to be instructed. This Bible, dearly beloved, has got a lot of things in it that you don't understand. I got a message here a few weeks ago on when Jesus stood up. You know, there's only one place in the Bible where Jesus is standing up receiving somebody from into heaven. It's over in the book of Acts where he receives Stephen. The rest of the time he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession. We're in Jesus Christ. That thing puzzled me for years. Why did Jesus stand up when Stephen came home? Why would the monarch stand up whenever a servant comes in? Well, according to the customs of the Oriental country, when a conquering hero came home, the monarch stood up to receive him into his presence. And here it is, Steve. You say, "Well, Stephen wasn't getting anybody saved, and he didn't have anybody saved that last meeting he preached. Maybe he didn't, dearly beloved. But I'm here to tell you something. He was doing the will of God, and he was filled with God. And when he came home, he was a conquering hero, and he had run his race." He was through. You see, the Bible, to be understood, you have to study sometimes. You can't just open it up and say, okay, here I am, fill my mouth. You'll put both feet in it about that time. You know, I'm from down south, and whenever I started in the ministry, and I started talking about going to college, had some of them folks down in the hillbillies down there, they said, well, if God calls you to preach, God will fill your mouth. I said, yeah. I said, he'll fill it with both feet. I got sense enough to know I better study something. I was in a meeting one time. I'm real nice. I don't do much. I just kind of walk in, sit down, and listen. This young man got up, and he preached for 35, 40 minutes on how ignorant he was. You've heard it. I mean, you know, I ain't got no education. I ain't going to get no education. I ain't going around. And he preached on 30, 35 minutes on how ignorant he was. So I just got up right behind him. They had me preach right behind him. You know, and he was talking about all these doctors and this, that, and other. And they introduced me as Dr. Osteen. So I got up right behind him, and I said, This young man spent about 35 minutes preaching on how ignorant he was. And I said he had a lot to preach about. Open your Bible and preach. And after the service was over with, he came to me. He said, I want to apologize. I said, well, son, you need to go somewhere and get you some learning. And then get you some wisdom, know how to handle it. And you know what he did? He did. God spoke to him, and he did. Isn't that wonderful when God speaks to someone? Isn't it wonderful when you were spoken to? It wasn't that a wonderful day when God showed you where you were? Wasn't that a wonderful day when God just came to you where you were and spoke to your heart and showed you that you need to be saved? Wasn't that a wonderful day whenever he spoke with you? Here in this passage of Scripture, this man don't understand what's going on. And dearly beloved, you need to understand you're dealing with people out here sometimes that don't understand what's going on. My wife heard the gospel whenever she was about 14 or 15 years old in Arkansas, and she came from a Catholic background and never heard the preaching of the Word of God, and she ran forward and wanted to be a Baptist. And they baptized her, but they didn't lead her to Christ. And she never understood salvation until she was about 21 years old. And she went from Baptist church to Baptist church to Baptist church. But one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to her. Old man of God, filled with God. Old manly beast, old man of God, filled with God. Preached that Bible to her. Oh, that was a wonderful day. That was a wonderful day. But he didn't know what was going on. He just didn't understand what he was reading. You don't need to make fun of folks if they don't understand what's going on. You need to tenderly and lovingly and kindly instruct them. You know what I found? I found that I can instruct people in certain ways and they won't take it. They get mad. You ever had that to happen? Hey, why don't you just straighten up, you dummy? Don't work that way. But you know, you can speak to them a little bit different and they may take just exactly everything you said. When I said what I said from that pulpit about that, I said, praise God for this young man. I said, he preached on how ignorant he was, and thank God he had a lot to preach about. That's all I said. Afterward, he came to me, and he said, you know, Brother Osteen, he said, you could have chewed me out. He said, but you, when you spoke to me kind of like that, and rebuked me like that, he said, it was like something just a squeak. And he said, I want to get right with God. How should somebody know? Except we should show them. I want you to notice the last thing here. I want you to notice here, this preacher preaches about Jesus. Isn't this wonderful? I mean, here it is now. This is a passage of Scripture, read but not understood. And now, this preacher takes that passage of Scripture and preaches about Jesus. Look what he says. And the place of the Scripture which he read, verse 32, was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dung before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of this, of himself, or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. That's the key. Did you realize here this morning, did you realize that it's Jesus that is the preeminent one in the church? Did you realize it's Jesus that died for you? Did you realize that, son? When did you get saved? 4.5 years old. Anybody in here like me got saved after they was 25 or 20 or 30 years old? Huh? Raise your hand. Well, you know, I thank God for young men get saved this age, okay? I thank God for that. But let me just tell you something, folks. It took a lot of difference. It took a lot to get me to that point. Because I was hardened. And I'd done come to the point I wanted to do my own thing my own way. I'd done come to the point I do. And when my wife got saved, I just got angry. I didn't want anything of this stuff. And you know what? because of her tenderness and because of her loving me, and because of even I had other preachers and stuff that loved me and cared for me and spoke to me and gave me things and cared for me. And you know what it was constantly about? Jesus. It's all about Him. It's not about you. Like this woman. She was a stewardess on a plane. And it was in a third world country, and she had never seen the Bible. And this guy's sitting there reading the Bible. He's a preacher. And she went back and forth and back and forth there. And he just sitting there reading his Bible. And she didn't know what he's reading. Finally she said, "Sir, what are you reading?" He said, "I'm reading a book about God and you." And she said, "Oh." He said, "What does it say about me?" He began to turn over at Romans, "And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And he began to teach her and show her that all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. He began to show her that she deserved to go to hell, and she had no righteousness. After a while, she said, "My God, what does it say about God?" And he took and tenderly went through the Word of God and showed her what Jesus had done for her. How that God the Father sent His Son, His own precious Son, to die on the cross of Calvary. They said she knelt down right there now and got saved. Oh, what a day. I was preaching up yonder in West Virginia years ago. Preaching up there, and I was preaching on the street, and there was a man about 60 years old, and they were singing, and a lot of folks had come around. About 35, 40 people came around to hear the singing. But when I stepped up to preach, they started trying to wander off. And this fellow started wandering off. And when he looked, he was walking away. He kind of looked over his shoulder at me like this, kind of looked around at me. And I said, "Sir, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. You need to be saved." He turned around and stopped. He came right towards me. And I was preaching on, I'm a debtor to get the gospel out. And he stood there and listened to that little sermon. And as soon as I quit, heart prayed and said, "If there's anybody here who wants to speak to me, I'll be right over here." And I started toward him. He just ran to me, tears stringing down his cheek. He said, "Preacher, I'm lost. Can I be saved?" We knelt right down there, right at the base of the statue of Stonewall Jackson. And he got saved. Now listen to me carefully. This man, Philip, he preached Jesus. He died for you. He's resurrected for you. He wants to save you. He's done all that he could do to get you saved. You're going to have to respond to him. You're going to have to respond. My darling wife told me one day, and I said, I've tried all this stuff. I've been baptized. I've joined the churches. I've prayed these prayers. She said, "But yes, honey, you have never wanted him more than you wanted yourself." That's it. You see, when self is in the way, when self is in the way, you'll never come to Jesus. You're going to have to repent and trust Him. Would you bow your head? Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. The pianist comes and is ready to give the invitation. No one looking around. Every head bowed. Every head bowed. How many of you slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, if I die right now, at this moment, if I would die, I know I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved." How many slip your hand up there? Come on. Put your hand down. How many slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. I'd sure like to be saved." How many slip your hand up there right now? Anybody? Slip your hand up high. Let me see. Anyone? All right, let me ask you this question. those of you that are saved? Are you still as tender as you was when you first got saved? Do you still have that tenderness towards God and towards His will? And that tenderness and joy that you used to have? Some of you don't have that, do you? You've grown hardened, cold on God. How many of you slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I've just grown cold in some ways on God. I'm not as tender as I used to be. I'm not as joyful as I used to be. I'm not as happy in the Lord as I used to be." How many slip your hand up there? Come on. Come on. Come on. You know what you are? You're backslid. And you know what? God's speaking to you today. Won't you get on these altars and just get it right? How many of you here this morning slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized. I've never been baptized in the authority of the Baptist Church." How many slip your hand up there? All right, I see that. What you need to do is submit yourself to the church here, talk to the preacher, and be baptized. God did not suggest you to be baptized. Peter commanded the centurion to be baptized. That's an act of obedience. When we give the invitation, you come down here and take me by the hand and say, "Preacher, I want to be baptized." You go on and read this passage of Scripture. As soon as this man got saved, he was baptized. How many of you are here this morning and you're saved and been baptized, and you know that, and God's dealing with you about becoming a member of this church? You're not a member of this church, but God's dealing with you about becoming a member of this church. How many slip your hand up there? Anybody? All right, let me ask another question. How many of you here this morning, God's dealing with you about surrendering your life to do something, and only you know what it is, and you'll slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, God's dealing with me. I've never surrendered, but God's dealing with me." How many slip your hand up there? It'd be a good day to do it today, wouldn't it? It'd be a wonderful day. Let's stand to our feet here at these altars. Father, we pray now that you'll bless this invitation. Bless it, Lord, for your glory and because of Jesus. There's some folks here that are lost, Lord, but they didn't raise their hand. There's some here, a multitude of them, Lord, here, but they've grown cold on you in some areas. Revive them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we play, as the pianist plays, and hear these altars.
All right, have a seat. A couple things before we're dismissed. There was up here Wednesday a chart that Brother Green had left. Pardon me? Okay. Brother Green was here Wednesday night and talked about a program where they try to raise a certain amount of paper, money for a certain amount of paper to print a certain amount of Bibles. And some have already signed up, some put the money in this morning. The idea is that trying to get people to $3 a week for 10 weeks and 40 people to do that and raises a certain amount of money. But the objective is to print, I think, 15,000 John and Romans, and they can all be sent to the mission field, or we can keep 5 and send 10 to some mission field, but however we want to do that. But that's the objective. It's a paper, you know, purchasing project. And like I mentioned, I have a hard time remembering $3 a week for 10 weeks. I can remember $100 a week for 10 weeks, but $3 a week for 10 weeks, really, I'll forget about it. So I just want to get started off with $30, right? Just get it done, get it over with. And, you know, I'm not going to miss 30 much more than I'm going to miss 10, to tell you, or 3 to tell you the truth. 300 I'd miss, but or 100 I'd miss. But really, you know, 30 bucks, sometimes we find 30 bucks any week if we really need it. So you do it any way you want to. But if you didn't sign up for the chart or on the chart, and you'd like to just help to raise some money to buy paper to send Gospel of John and Romans over to the mission field, you can have a part in that, sign that. But just try to remember to get the money in. You know, again, that's what worries me, is people forgetting to put the money in because it's so little at an amount. And you say, well, I'll catch up with it next week. And then 4 weeks go by, and you say, well, you know, a good 15 after 5 weeks, and then you forget the whole thing. You know, that's just what I'm afraid might happen. So if you commit to it, please do carry through the commitment. And again, we raised, I think I told you Wednesday night, that you guys gave $274 for that Green Bible. You gave me that Green Bible. But that money goes to buying printing presses and materials for actual to do the work, not the paper, but the actual machinery to do the printing for their print shop. And so we raised $274 for the print shop. So I wanted to report that. And just gave Brother Green something out of the general fund. I would like to take a love offering from Brother Osteen, though, this morning. And so, ushers, if you would come. And looking forward to tonight, please be on time in your places. Please park in the guest house parking lot, if at all possible, so the visitors will have a place in the back here. Gentlemen, come forward now. Does anybody need an envelope? Brother Tuttle could use an envelope. Maybe too late now. There we go. Mark's on the spot. Okay. Again, I don't know that we'll take a love offering tonight. I might have to get an idea of what the atmosphere in the service is with regard to that. But so this may be the only chance you have to give towards this today. So let's have Brother McGlynn, if you'd pray for the offering. And we'll take it, and then when she's done playing the offertory, you'll be dismissed.